Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, excused, Barnhart, Hannah, Patty Smith, excused for business of the House, Nathanson, Nolan,
I'm going to invite onto the floor Michaela Coswell of Medford. She will be singing the national anthem right after we have the flag salute. So we'll invite her to come on out. And Representative Andy Olson will lead us in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs boosting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, who saved us that star-spangled banner and wave? O'er the land of the free and the home of the
opening ceremony will now be presented by the Reverend Richard Ketchum of Grace Baptist Church. He is a guest of Representative Hunt.
I'm honored to be here, and I'm part of a delegation of American Baptists from Portland, McMinnville, and Salem visiting today. We Baptists are 400 years old this year. We were born in England amid adversity and persecution. And we have been committed to freedom and justice ever since. Majority Leader Hunt is a member of my congregation where I serve, and more importantly, he is my friend. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, the time demands on the women and men in this assembly are overwhelming. Give them clarity of thought. Give them wisdom in their decision-making. Guard and protect their families while these leaders are here on business for these many months. Lord, walk with them, showing them the light of your love as they struggle with the hard decisions of justice and freedom. Amen.
Courtesies. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I ask that you extend the courtesies of our chamber to the Executive Director of the Seaside Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Alan Smiles. He's up in the upper gallery in the front row. Al's here today with partners from Clatsop Community College because he's concerned about training skilled workers in the North Coast region. In rural areas in particular, community college provides enhanced opportunities for residents to gain higher levels of education and give employees an opportunity for training and investing in their workforce. In addition to his responsibilities for the Seaside Chamber, Smiles serves on the board of the Destination the Pacific, which is a proposed future natural heritage area for the Columbia Pacific region. He's also a member of the Gearhart Volunteer Fire Department. He serves on the county's high angle rescue team, and he's actively involved in economic development activities within Clatsop County. He knows that if community colleges are successful in their request for $529 million in appropriations this biennium, Clatsop Community College could provide a marine and environmental science associate of applied science degree to meet the needs of our local industry. He's also counting on the college to offer an entry-level employment readiness program to give students the opportunity to receive instruction in specific occupational areas to make them competitively employable. Please join me in welcoming Al Smiles today and friends from Clatsop Community College and students from Clatsop Community College who come to enjoy our body here today and watch government in action. Thank you.
Welcome. Good to have you. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Little problem there. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask colleagues to extend courtesies to my honorary page today, Bridget O'Malley. Bridget, will you stand up? Bridget is a sixth grader at Sheldon Middle School. Her favorite activity is riding her horse, Zipper. She also likes to act and has just finished the 12th night. It's not on the sheet, but I know she's also an accomplished Girl Scout and violinist. So please join me in welcoming Bridget O'Malley to the Capitol today. Welcome, Bridget. And I also hope that you will help me in welcoming my intern today, Katie Bodie. Katie is a senior at Corvallis High School, and she's here today pursuing her interest in political science and to learn more about government at the state level as part of her AP government class. Next year, she's going to be attending California Lutheran University, and she hopes to study political science and psychology. And in her not very much spare time, she's also a student director of the Heart of the Valley Children's Choir. And I happen to know from personal experience that the children enjoy her leadership very much.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to welcome 10 students who are serving as honorary pages for the House today. They all attend Baker Prairie Middle School in Canby. The students, please stand, and colleagues, please help me welcome Mason Herson Horde, Raquel Whiting, Vanessa DeJesus, Fat Tran, Sam Rounds, Kelsey Abel, Taylor Alford, Andrea Gibson, Jesus Shaparo, and Nathan Mitchell. Thank you all for coming today, and I hope you join me in welcoming them.
Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We had a guest from Medford, Michaela Caswell. She's age 9. She was born and raised in Medford. She's just the one that sung our national anthem. She is a member of the Rogue Valley Discovery Choir, began to sing almost before she learned to talk in sentences. Michaela sang in honor of her grandfather, firefighter Tim Caswell Sr., who passed away 2 weeks ago after a valiant fight against cancer. Mr. Caswell called Michaela his little songbird. A special thanks to Michaela and her family for making the trip today to open our session this morning. Thank you.
Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like you all to extend courtesies to some people in the Capitol this morning who are working on a significant yet often hidden community issue in Oregon and indeed across the nation. And it's the fact that in Oregon alone we have 13,000 people who are incarcerated, but for every incarcerated Oregonian there are 2 to 3 children who are children of those parents who are incarcerated. And I'd like to recognize people in the gallery representing individuals and families and those involved in these programs addressing their unique needs. The Girl Scouts Beyond Bars, Big Brothers Big Sisters, Boys and Girls Aid Society, Committed Partners for Youth, Coffee Creek's Even Start, Central Oregon Partnership for Youth, Center for Family Success, Metropolitan Family Services, and Children's Justice Alliance. Because, colleagues, all the social workers in the world can't replace a parent, and sometimes the best way to help a child is to help their parents become better providers, better caregivers, and better people. So thank you very much, and welcome to the Capitol.
It's good to have you with us today. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This beautiful young lady who's sitting with me today is my shadow, and I couldn't have a smarter or prettier one. Her name's Molly Knutz. She's from McMinnville, and she's 15 years old and homeschooled. She enjoys writing, painting, singing, drawing, and reading. And as a 4-H member, she serves as a county 4-H ambassador as well as a camp counselor. And next week, she'll be attending the 4-H Know Your State Government Conference here in Salem. So I hope we learn our state government before she gets here next week so we can teach her a lot more. It's my honor to have Molly Knutz. Please give her a warm welcome.
Further courtesies. Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform the Senate to pass Senate Bill 109, 134, 266, 334, 341, 416, 569.
First reading, memorials and resolutions. Standing committee reports. Committee report files have been distributed. Special committee reports. First reading of House bills. Clerk, read the bill.
House Bill 3537 relieves the taxation of nonprofit corporation retail stores operating for the purpose of funding low-cost housing programs and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3538 relating to heritage districts. House Bill 3540 relating to compensation for loss of value of private real property resulted from land use regulation, declaring an emergency.
Bills read first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills. Consent calendar. Third reading of House bills. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2401 relating to public employee retirement.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2401. Representative Holvey.
Mr. Speaker, I move House Bill 2401 be re-referred to the Committee on Business and Labor.
Representative Holvey moves that House Bill 2401 be re-referred to the Committee on Business and Labor. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. It was uncovered by some very intelligent people in our chamber that we've deleted inadvertently a sentence that is extremely important, and we need to take it back to committee to fix that.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Holvey, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those of the opinion that House Bill 2401 should be re-referred to the Committee on Business and Labor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. House Bill 2401 is re-referred to the Committee on Business and Labor. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2750, relating to providing computers to individual students and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2750. Representative Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2750 comes to you from your Committee on Education on a unanimous vote. The bill creates a task force on the use of computers in schools. Currently, there are a number of schools throughout our state that are using one-to-one laptop initiatives. In my district, Apple donated enough laptops to provide each student in the Springfield Middle School with a computer to use both at home and at school during the school year. Similar programs have been done in schools from Forest Grove to Redmond to Vail. The purpose of the task force is to discover and learn from what is going on in Oregon schools, to learn what is working and why, and to provide recommendation to the legislature on how computers might be provided to students in a cost-effective manner. Obviously, computers do not replace teachers or quality instruction. Like books and chalkboards, computers are tools to help children learn. While basic education is important for young people to become successful in life, today's youth will also need to learn about and become efficient at using computers as a tool. We should keep in mind that the future of our young students lie in the 21st century. Their success will depend largely upon their proficiency with technology and their ability to adapt to increasingly complex and commonplace technologies. This task force should provide us in the next session with quality information that we can use to make decisions on how to begin to meet these needs. And I urge your support.
Further discussion? Representative Krummel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I voted for this in committee, and I will vote for it again on the floor, but I just wanted to point out one thing, and that is that one of the things that was discussed in committee and asked about, and that is a school district's acceptable use policy with regards to computers. And one of the things that we need to make sure of, especially if districts are going to go down the road of providing computers, laptops to all of their students, is that there has to be an acceptable use policy that the student and their parent should have to sign. That way, you don't have students, hopefully, wandering off in areas of the Internet that they should not be on and using the school resources to be able to get there. Just a point that I wanted to make and that I wanted to put on the record, Mr. Speaker. It is a good bill. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Beyer, do you wish to close?
No.
She does not. Those in the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And clerk will open the voting system. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Representative Burley votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Gilliam votes aye. Representative Cannon votes aye. And Representative Beyer votes aye. House Bill 2750, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
House Bill 2848, relating to education, declaring an emergency.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2848. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is with great joy that I bring to you House Bill 2848 today. It's come to you through your House Education Committee with a unanimous vote. all of you know, all of us know what a significant moment in time it is when a family goes to celebrate a student's graduation from high school. Students look forward to this through their years in school. Parents look forward to it from the time that their children are born. Unfortunately, today in Oregon, not every child has the ability to look forward to that or has the guarantee of being able to achieve a diploma if they work hard in school and meet their educational goals. What House Bill 2848 would do is create a statewide standards for a modified diploma for students who, because of their disabilities or emotional or mental health or other needs, are unable to complete the requirements of a standard high school diploma. The State Board of Education would set out the requirements for this modified diploma so that it means something across the state. Students, whether they live in my school district or in yours, if they happen to move during that high school year or during their middle school years when they're looking forward to high school, wouldn't have to face the uncertainty of the requirements being changed. Current law is that individual school districts can determine whether or not to offer a modified diploma, and then they have the ability to determine what the requirements for those modified diplomas are. Not all school districts offer that. In committee, we heard some interesting, or the committee, I'm not on the committee, but I attended the committee hearing. There was a witness who talked about her child who received a modified diploma. Her son experiences severe autism, and because of that, continued to be in school under the Federal Individuals with Disabilities Education Act until the age of 21. He left school at the same time as his younger sister, who was an honors student. When she graduated, she received a diploma with all of the fancy scroll writing and the seals and a nice cover, and it was signed by the superintendent. Her son, upon leaving school that same year, received a piece of paper that was signed by the classroom teacher that was a certificate of attendance. It was her daughter who became very upset about this because she had watched how hard her brother had worked through all the years that he was in school, and she wanted to see him achieve a greater recognition for the work that he had done. So the daughter called the school district, the superintendent complained about this, and as a result, they got in the mail a fancy certificate that said modified diploma with a seal and a signature. The mother was frustrated and said, this should mean something more than a mother called and said, my child needs this diploma. And that's what this bill will do. It will set up statewide standards so that that modified diploma means something and that students can strive to achieve that. The bill also directs local school districts to create criteria for an alternative certificate for students who are unable to achieve the requirements of a standard diploma. This might include students with very significant disabilities who are not going to be able to reach those standards. But again, they deserve to have the rite of passage, the ability to have a piece of paper that recognizes their years and years of work. For students with severe disabilities, they often begin their public education process when they're infants or toddlers in the early intervention and early childhood special ed program. They're working very hard as many of our honors students, and they deserve to have something to recognize their commitment to their schooling and their efforts. Finally, the bill would require that every school district allow these students to participate in graduation ceremonies, whether they're receiving an alternative certificate, a modified diploma, or a regular diploma. Currently in Oregon, some school districts exclude these students from participating in their graduation ceremonies. That is a significant rite of passage that we should not deny to any student because of their mental or physical disabilities or a mental illness. I received a letter from Karen Frederick of the Arc of Benton County talking about this bill, and she said, graduation and the award of a diploma recognize the efforts and successes of teachers to prepare our youth for citizenship. Graduation and diploma recognize student efforts to learn. Some students are biologically and emotionally more adept at mastering academic complexities than others. Every student who has achieved the academic goals set for their education deserves the dignity of the graduation ceremony and the coveted diploma that recognizes academic success in public. That's what this bill will do. I hope that you will vote yes and give students the opportunity to achieve the recognition that they deserve for working hard in school and allow their families to celebrate with them during this important rite of passage. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Dallum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've had several questions on the bill, and I would like to go to the bill.
Was that a question of the carrier?
No, to the bill.
To the bill?
Thank
okay.
you. Several have asked, is this diluting the standard diploma? And the simple answer is no. What we have is a student that has worked to the maximum of their ability and worked hard, as my colleague so gracefully explained. And although I have not found a district that doesn't take care of that, that student deserves to participate in the celebration of graduation. And this bill allows that to happen. Let me close with good bill should pass.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Gelser, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hope that you will join me in voting yes, and I also need to declare a conflict of interest as I have a child who would benefit from the ability to achieve a modified diploma.
Your potential conflict of interest is noted for the record. Those who are opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no, and the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? She votes aye. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Representative Burley votes aye. House Bill 2848, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
House Bill 2925, relating to wave energy and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2925. Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I bring you today what I hope will be the first in a package of legislation to facilitate the development of the next wave of renewable energy, quite literally, wave energy. Any new technology requires field testing, or in this case, ocean testing. House Bill 2925 exempts small-scale wave energy projects from certain provisions relating to hydroelectric projects. In plain language, it will enable potential developers to take the next step in research and development and get some test buoys in the water without the permitting process that is normally required for a commercial facility. Generally, the Water Resources Department is the lead permitting authority over hydroelectric projects in the state, including wave energy projects. House Bill 2925 exempts wave energy projects from that authority if the project is located in the state's territorial sea, generates 5 megawatts or less, and a license under the Federal Power Act is not required. Federal jurisdiction is not asserted unless a project connects to and delivers electricity to the power grid. Consequently, this bill will allow research to continue by testing wave energy devices off the Oregon coast without connecting to the grid. I urge you to ride the new energy wave and support House Bill 2925.
Colleagues, I would encourage you to carry your conversations outside in the lobby. And further discussion, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I may have been absent in committee the day they voted this out. I would have been a strong yes. This is a project long time coming, and this bill merely gives it the go-ahead to proceed with their, riding the wave, you know, hanging 10 or whatever you want to call it, while they await the federal sightings process. So please join us in a yes vote. Thank you.
For the discussion, Representative Schaffler.
Mr. Speaker, I think we should all do the wave. Okay. Good bill should pass.
Thank you for that demonstration of the wave, Representative Schaffler. It took us a moment. Further discussion? Seeing none. Representative Cowan, do you wish to close? She does not. Those in opinion the bill should pass, vote aye. Those opposed, no. And clerk will open the voting system. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Burley votes aye. Representative Greg Smith votes aye. Representative Susan Morgan, how do you vote? And she votes aye. And Representative Boquist, how do you vote? Representative Boquist? Is he here? All points bulletin for Representative Boquist. Are you on the floor? Representative Boquist is off the floor. House Bill 2925, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final reading, memorials, and resolutions. Clerk will read the resolution.
H.R. 4, encouraging early screening and aggressive treatment programs for diabetes.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Resolution 4. Representative Bruin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. H.R. 4 is designed to provide public education on the growing prevalence and danger of diabetes. Colleagues, there are two types of diabetes. Both are chronic, life-changing, and potentially life-ending.
Representative Maroon, can you hold for just a second? Colleagues, it is unusually noisy, and we'd all like to hear Representative Maroon's introduction, so please do carry the conversation outside if you could. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, there are two types of diabetes. Both are chronic, life-changing, and potentially life-ending. In Oregon, over 400,000 people have diabetes, and that number is growing disproportionately to population growth. As I mentioned on this floor last week, the average annual health care costs for a diabetic are well over $13,000 a year, and a child diagnosed with diabetes, either type 1 or type 2, will see his or her life expectancy reduced by an average of 19 years. Critical to fighting back against the costs, the reduced life expectancy, and the toll on quality of life is early screening and aggressive treatment, exactly what's called for in H.R. 4. There is no known cure for diabetes, but with the right tools, proper education, discipline, and treatment, the damage of diabetes can be greatly mitigated. Also on this House floor last week, I calculated and expressed to the House that I had taken approximately 29,500 shots in my life and it had taken 59,850 blood tests in my life. With the passage of 9 days, that number has now gone up to 29,531 shots and 59,914 blood tests. The point to all this is that I aggressively manage my disease to the chagrin of some of my Democratic opponents in past elections. So. And, Mr. Speaker, I'll probably hang on a little while longer. I ask for your aye vote on H.R. 4. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none. Representative Bruin does not wish to close. Those of opinion the bill should pass, the resolution should pass, will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gelser, for what purpose do you rise?
Oh, I can wait till you announce the
following
vote.
The vote. Representative Hunt, are you following the vote? Thank you. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Representative Shields? Representative Shields is off the floor. House Resolution 4, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Gelser.
Yes, request consent to return to the order of courtesies, please.
Representative Gelser requests unanimous consent to return to courtesies. Without objection, please go ahead.
Thank you. Colleagues, I would like to extend House courtesies today for the representatives of the Community of Welcoming Congregations and Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, who are sitting right up here. CWC is an interfaith ministry, an association of religious and spiritual congregations that welcome and affirm people regardless of sexual orientation and gender identity. CWC reaches out in support and affirmation, acknowledging the image of our loving Creator in every person. Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon's mission is to bring together Oregon's diverse faith community and service to God and creation. These faithful Oregonians are representative of the over 150 clergy and congregations who signed the letter that we all received last week in support of Senate Bill 2 and House Bill 2007. This morning, they gathered in Salem for a prayer breakfast in support of justice and equality for all Oregonians. Please join me in welcoming them to the Oregon State Legislature today. Welcome.
Welcome. Very good to have you here. Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We also have a bunch of Baptists in the House today. Up in the North Gallery here are several members of my home church, Grace Baptist Church, as well as some folks from First Baptist McMinnville and a couple stragglers from First Baptist Oregon City and First Baptist Springfield. Welcome to the House. I'm also privileged to extend courtesies to my former state senator, who unfortunately is not a former member of the House, so we cannot invite him on the floor, but State Senator Vern Duncan, who is here, one of my heroes, as well as four of his guests and my constituents from Oak Grove. Welcome, Senator Duncan. And Mr. Speaker, I think he left, but my pastor gave the invocation today. I want to extend appreciation to Pastor Richard Ketchum for giving our invocation this morning. He's in the rear gallery. That's the disadvantage of sitting in the back. Thank you, Pastor Ketchum, for blessing us this morning.
It's good to have the Baptists with us today, and a big welcome to former Senator Vern Duncan. Representative Lim.
Duncan, former senator. We served together in the Senate and good friend of mine, and so thank you very much.
Further courtesies? Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 109 relating to charitable organizations, declaring emergency. Senate Bill 134 relating to authority of Oregon State Veterinary Medical Examining Board. Senate Bill 266 relating to Governor's Commission on the Law Enforcement Medal of Honor. Senate Bill 334 relating to students. And Senate Bill 341 relating to transplants. Senate Bill 416 relating to historic property prescribing effective date. Senate Bill 569 relating to sturgeon.
Bills read first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 103 relating to hazardous waste generation. Senate Bill 106 relating to heat oil takes and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 241 relating to commercial fisheries. Senate Bill 570 relating to animal emergency operations plans.
Bills read second time or passed the third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 5514 related to financial administration of the State Department of Geology and Mineral Industries appropriated money and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5514A. Representative Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 5514 is the appropriation bill for the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, more fondly known as DOGGAMI. The department is the state's primary source of information on geologic minerals and hazards. The department is also responsible for administering surface mining regulations. The agency is funded by primarily general funds, other funds from mining permits, publication sales and contracts, and various federal fund sources. The Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources approved a budget, and the Joint Ways and Means Committee approved a budget of $8.5 million and 35.220 FTE, including $3.2 million general fund, $3.4 million other funds, and $1.9 million federal funds. The budget does not include $4.5 million of other funds from the proposed sale of certificates of participation and $116,903 of general fund debt service for light detection and ranging or LIDAR as proposed by the governor. The project would provide mapping data for 10,000 square miles of western Oregon, including coastal areas. The package was removed in part due to concerns of the large roll-up costs of 2009 to 2011. The project will, however, be considered for add-back with a different funding scheme at a later date. The budget also removes over $300,000 of empty federal funds expenditure limitation. This budget passed unanimously by the House members of the Joint Ways and Means Committee and recommends approval of Senate Bill 5538 as amended.
Further discussion, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this is a very important budget bill.
To the bill.
It includes the a little bit of LIDAR, which is the radar-type mapping activity, which is part one of two parts to create a very accurate scientific tsunami wave model that we really need on our state's coastal areas to determine where the water will go, how far it will go up, and where people should build. For example, if you're talking to a city or a county who's considering a public building, this is extremely important for them to have this information. The seafloor mapping complements this bill by giving the underwater version of the map, of the model, and the LIDAR hits the out of the water on terra firma part of the model. So although they didn't get the complete ask for the mapping of all the LIDAR they need to do, they have a small piece that they have gone out on their own and received grant funding, et cetera, to do at least a piece of it on the coast first, and that's very important for emergency preparedness. So please support this. It's a very important bill. Thank you.
Representative Boquist.
To the bill, Mr. Speaker.
To the bill.
Colleagues, rarely would I agree with every single member of the House side of the Ways and Means. Every single member, in my mind, is wrong. So this is bipartisan. There were two votes cast against this budget in joint Ways and Means, and those were two policy members from the Committee on Emergency Services. March 28, 1964, United States of America. Cape St. Elias, one dead. Point Whitehead, one dead. Valdez Inlet, one dead. Valdez, 31 dead. Whitaker, 13 dead. Port Nelly, 3 dead. Port Noel, 1 dead. Chinaga, 23 dead. Crab Bay, 1 dead. Seaward, 12 dead. Kodiak, 9 dead. Calissin, 6 dead. Old Harbor, 1 dead. Kanaga, 3 dead. La Push, damage to docks, damage to coastal areas. Talhoa, damage to fishing inlets. Wreck Creek, damage to highway bridge. Pacific Beach, damage to buildings, vehicles, 1 injured. Joe Creek, bridges washed out. Boone Creek, road and building damaged. Capalas, bridge collapse, trailers, cars damaged. Aberdeen, cars, trailers damaged. Iwako, cars, docks, and other damage. Warrington, waterfront damaged. Gerhardt, homes flooded, cabins flooded. Seaside, one dead. Bridges damaged, area flooded, vehicles destroyed. Depot Bay, damages. Newport, 4 children dead. Walport, dock area damaged. Yahats, motels damaged. Florence, boat damage. Charleston, Coos Bay area, damage in the inner boat basin. Bandon, damage. Roe River, damage. Winnick River, damage. 1964, tsunami hit the Oregon coast. ODOT spends $250 million next to my district to build a new bypass to save 4 people who have been killed in the last 20 years. $250 million. I call to your attention the key performance measures. We all want to be analytical about this. Key performance measures for this agency. And I look down on it, and I'm happy to see that line number 4, hazard awareness, public awareness of geological hazards and mitigation. We're talking about earthquakes and tsunamis. We have a target of 100%. 100% by 2008. That's great news. So by 2008, we're going to tell 100% of the people how to evacuate, how to get out of their areas, what damage to expect, and how to save their lives so they're not dead like the people in 1964. So how do we do that? We do the earthquake and landslide maps, and we do the tsunami inundation maps. Now remember, we're going to be at 100% in 2008. Tsunami inundation map completion, line number 9. Percent of coastal communities provided with detailed tsunami inundation maps for local emergency planning, 37%. How are we going to tell the citizens of this state along the coast with 100% accuracy what to do when we're only going to do 37% of the work? I go back to the top, number 2 item, which is tsunami evacuation map completions. Percent of targeted communities with official reviewed endorsed evacuation maps so that 100% of the people can evacuate. Well, the good news is in another year we'll be at 80%. Now, I'm just a dumb farmer infantry guy, but if you're only doing 37% of the work and 80% of the work, how do we get to 100%? These were not big items in there, but they were big enough items that Senator Verger and Senator Gordley spoke out about them, and common sense told me that I didn't need to go up there and jump up and down. But apparently I did need to go up and jump up and down, because these are shortfalls that will cost the lives of Oregon citizens. For that reason, I'll vote no for this budget here, and if it does pass, I'll go to the E-Board and find money to protect citizens, because that's the number one reason we exist here. Thank you, members.
Further discussion, Representative Cowan.
To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleague, I agree with my colleagues from the upper left coast as well as the 23rd district. Unfortunately, they're on opposite sides of this particular bill. I've agonized over this particular budget because I agree that it is inadequate to do all of what Dogami needs desperately to do to protect all of our citizenry and most specifically those along the Oregon coast. However, I will be supporting the bill. I feel that we need to move forward with the budget that we can manage at this point, but I urge you to continue your awareness of the challenges that we face along the coast. It is my hope that when we have 100% awareness of our dangers and our problems, we will also have 100% participation from our electorate to do what we need to do. We must keep this issue in the forefront of our minds. It is extremely important to the state of Oregon, but I urge you to continue forward with our process and move this budget and then work towards enhancing it.
Representative Butler.
Mr. Speaker, I rise to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your conflict for the record.
I have a license provided by this agency.
As duly noted, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise, colleagues, in opposition to Senate Bill 5514.
To the bill.
Excuse me, to the bill. Thank you, okay. Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to Senate Bill 5514 for exactly the same reasons that I stated yesterday on the other three bills, with the exception of that I received information from the co-chairs and LFO at 2:56 p.m. yesterday and have not yet had time to thoroughly go through it to the degree of being able to vote for this. So therefore, I will be, and I hope you join me in opposition to this.
Further discussion? Hearing none. Representative Dingfelder, do you wish to close?
I would, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. Regarding a couple of comments that I heard here, I just want to clarify. If you look in under your key performance measures sheet about the legislatively adopted KPMs, there was quite a bit of discussion about Measure 4 in our subcommittee, and it states right there that Measure 4 in its current state has some flaws, as discussed by the agency during its budget presentation. This 100% number or goal that's set is based on the amount of website hits that the agency receives in the policy committee. I'm sorry, the subcommittee felt that that was not a good way to track it. So we've asked the agency to revise that and work on how they can have a better tracking of raising public awareness of geological hazards, as this is a very important key performance measure, as was pointed out. The other thing I would just like to comment about LIDAR, there was no debate in the subcommittee about the importance of LIDAR. Everyone was in agreement that this is an absolutely important tool. However, just to clarify that it was more of a budget issue, because there's actually $1 million of debt service because of the way that this program would have been funded, or this tool would have been funded. It's a $4.5 million cost to the general fund, and we felt that $1 million in debt service for a $4.5 million project was way too high a percentage. and that we are going to look at other possibilities for funding this particular project. And I think that the co-chairs will be looking hard at that towards the latter part of the session. So with that, I urge an aye vote and respectfully ask for a call of the House.
President Dingfiller asks for a call of the House. She is joined by Representative Rosenbaum, Representative Cowan, Representative Dallum, Representative Greenlick, and Representative Cannon. The doorkeeper will bar the doors. The sergeant-at-arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Burley Butler. Cameron. Cannon. Clem. Cowan. Dallum. Dingfelder. Chris Edwards. David Edwards. Esquivel. Flores. Galizio. Garrard. Gelzer. Gilliam. Gilman. Gerard. Greenlick. Hannah. Holvey. Hunt. Jensen. Comp. Kotek. Krieger. Krummel. Lim. McPherson. Maurer. Minnis. Morgan. Nathanson. Nelson. Nolan. Olson. Reed. Richardson. Riley. Roblin. Rosenbaum. Schaffler. Scott. Shields. Greg Smith. Patty Smith. Thatcher. Tomei. Wisnet. Witt. Mr. Speaker. Not answering. Burley. Excuse, not subject to the call. Hannah. Patty Smith.
All members are present. Those are opinions. Senate Bill 5514A should pass. We'll vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Witt, how do you vote? Witt votes aye. Senate Bill 5514A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request return to courtesies.
Representative Cannon requests unanimous consent to return to courtesies. Without objection, please go ahead.
Thank you. Colleagues, I'd like you to join me in welcoming a group of students from All Saints School in my district, the heart of Portland. This is a group of eighth graders led by Walter Shepherd. All Saints is a great little private school in Portland. We hope you enjoy your visit to the Capitol, and please join me in welcoming them.
It's good to have you all here. Further courtesies? Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5523, relating to financial administration, State Library, appropriate money, and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5523A. Representative David Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 5523 is the budget bill for the Oregon State Library. The mission of the Oregon State Library is to provide quality information services to Oregon State government, to provide reading materials to blind and print-disabled Oregonians, and to provide leadership, grants, and other assistance to improve local library service for all Oregonians. The agency is funded through general fund, assessments on state agencies, donations which enhance services provided by the agency's Talking Book and Braille program, and federal funds through the Library Services and Technology Act. Senate Bill 5523, as amended, provides a budget for the library of $3,358,907 general fund, $6,795,454 other funds, and $4,637,190 in federal funds. The recommendation increases general fund support for the Ready to Read grant program to local libraries by $286,006 for the 2007-09 biennium. This translates to an increase in per-child funding from the current rate of 84 cents per child to a dollar per child, with a $1,000 minimum grant for eligible libraries. The minimum grant level is dependent on the passage of House Bill 2116. Technical adjustments to the budget were made to ensure that staff time spent working on a web content management system for small public libraries is charged to Federal Library Services and Technology Act funds rather than state assessment revenues, which are restricted to activities that benefit state government. Performance measure targets were adjusted for three measures based on timing and technical issues associated with data collection. The target for a key performance measure related to best practices in serving children was adjusted upward to reflect approval of an increase in funding for the Ready to Read grant, and the standard board and commission best practices measure was added. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5523 as amended.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Edwards, do you wish to close?
Briefly, Mr. Speaker. As someone who grew up in modest circumstances and so made frequent use of public libraries and eventually earned a master's degree in English literature, I urge you to vote yes on this budget.
There's a call. Representative Roblin does call the House. He is joined by Representative Tomei, Representative Dallum, Representative Gilman, Representative Barnhart, and where's my fifth? Thank you. I'm going to need glasses here pretty soon. In back, Representative Greenlick. The Dorky will bar the doors. Sergeant Arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barker Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist, Boquist Bruin, Buckley, Buckley Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Galizio Garrard, Gelser, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Holvey Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Crummel Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Shields Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Boquist, Buckley, Galizio, Holvey, Lim, excuse not subject to the call. 2, Hannah, Patty Smith.
All are present. Those who feel that Senate Bill 5523A should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will call the roll. Open the voting system. Representative Tomei, how do you vote? Tomei votes aye. Representative Nathanson votes aye. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Esquivel votes no. Representative Crummell. Representative Crummell, he votes no. Senate Bill 5523A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Chair asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 5524 be taken from today's calendar and placed in its proper place on Monday, April 16, 2007 calendar, because the carrier is excused. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk, will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5526 relating to financial administration of the State Marine Board and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5526 for Representative Burley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 5526 is the budget bill for the Oregon State Marine Board. The Marine Board registers and licenses recreational boats, provides on-water law enforcement patrols through contracts with public safety agencies, and awards marine facility construction grants to local governments. The Marine Board receives no general fund support and is funded entirely by other and federal funds. The major other funds revenue sources are registration and title fees and motorboat fuel taxes. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved a total budget of $33,825,158.39 FTE, which is equal to the governor's recommended budget, and $4 million, or approximately 13.5% more than the 0507 biennium legislatively approved budget. The committee approved $2,268,734 other funds and $2,190,519 federal funds in the budget to fund additional boating safety publications and outreach materials, the installation of low-power AM radio stations near coastal bars to notify boaters of hazardous conditions, providing technical advice and educational information to reduce environmental impacts of marina operations and boating, and I'll spare you the last few bullets on this pony. The committee approved continuation of 11 of the agency's 13 performance measures and added a new measure relating to the best practices measure for boards and commissions. Three measures were deleted that are more effectively covered by the new customer service measure, which is a more direct, outcome-oriented measure of information availability. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends the bill be approved. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Burley, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
The call of the House? Who called for the House? Who asked for the call? Representative Olson? Asked for call of the House. He is joined by Representative Nelson, Representative Greenlick, Representative Richardson, Representative Minnis, and Representative Clem. Doorkeeper will bar the door. Sergeant Arms will attend, and clerk will call the roll.
Barker, Barnhart, Berger, Beyer, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Garrard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummell, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, excuse, not subject to the call, to Hannah, Patty Smith.
All members are present. Those opinion that Senate Bill 5526 should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barker, how do you vote? Barker votes aye. Representative Thatcher, how do you vote? She votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Representative Nolan, how do you vote? She votes aye. Senate Bill 5526, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Nathanson, for what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to return to courtesies, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Nathanson requests unanimous consent to return to courtesies. Is there an objection? Hearing none, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to welcome visitors from Howard Elementary School, Eugene, Oregon, and their leader, Priscilla Ng. Thank you, and welcome to the Capitol.
Pleasure to have you here. Are there other courtesies? Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5532, relating to financial administration of the State Board of Pharmacy and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5532A. Representative David Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 5532 is the budget bill for the State Board of Pharmacy. The board licenses pharmacists, registers and inspects pharmacies, drug wholesalers and manufacturers and over-the-counter drug outlets, investigates drug diversion, and regulates the quality and distribution of controlled substances, prescriptions, and over-the-counter drugs within the state. The agency is funded by revenue generated from license, registration, and examination fees. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved a total budget of $4.3 million and 20.5 full-time equivalent positions. The approved budget adds two part-time positions to address increased workload and includes $340,000 of U.S. Department of Justice grant funds to develop a prescription drug monitoring program should Senate Bill 34 become law. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5532 as amended.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Edwards, do you wish to close?
No, Mr. Speaker, but I respectfully ask for a call of the House.
Representative Edwards requests a call of the House. He is joined by Representative Clem, Representative Greenlick, Representative Barnhart, Representative Riley, and Representative Shields. Doorkeeper will bar the door. Sergeant Arms will attend, and clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Berger Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Boquist Bruin. Buckley. Buckley Burley. Butler. Cameron. Cannon. Clem. Cowan. Dallum. Dingfelder. Chris Edwards. David Edwards. Esquivel. Flores. Galizio. Garrard. Gelzer. Gilliam. Gilman. Gerard. Greenlick. Hannah. Holvey. Hunt. Jensen. Comp. Kotek. Krieger. Crummel. Lim. McPherson. Maurer. Minnis. Morgan. Nathanson. Nelson. Nolan. Olson. Reed. Richardson. Riley. Roblin. Rosenbaum. Schaffler. Scott. Shields. Greg Smith. Patty Smith. Thatcher. Tomei. Wisnet. Witt. Mr. Speaker. Not answering. Buckley. Excused, not subject to the call. Two. Hannah. Patty Smith.
All are present. Those of opinion that Senate Bill 5532A should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Lim, how do you vote? Lim votes aye. Representative Crummell votes aye. Senate Bill 5532A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 197, relating to confidentiality of information in Employment Department records.
Question now arises. One third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 197A. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 197A comes to you from your Business and Labor Committee with a unanimous due pass after passing the Senate unanimously. I understand that words like confidentiality of information rises to the level of attention on everybody's radar. However, this actually is a cleanup and simplification language that addresses the information that the Employment Department records, what they keep and how they share it. It clarifies circumstances under which they share information with workforce partner. It cleans up a series of statutes that were pretty confusing, and the bill will bring the law into alignment with new federal confidentiality regulations. The bill does not make changes of any kind to the exceptions to the confidential requirements already in statute, and it does not change which agencies can have access to Employment Department data, and it does not change reasons for which such access can be provided. In other words, it is more cleanup and clarification. It is not a change in policy. I urge an aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Berger, you were close.
No,
she is not.
No, thank you.
Those are the opinion that the bill should pass, a vote aye. Those opposed, no, and the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Bruin, for what purpose do your ayes?
Request permission to temporarily return to the order of courtesies.
I'll come to you as soon as we complete action. Thank you. Representative Boquist, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? She votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Senate Bill 197A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill. Ah, yes. Representative Bruin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Request permission to temporarily return to the order of courtesies.
Representative Bruin, request unanimous consent to return to the order of courtesies without objection. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, colleagues, I would like you to welcome a class from Bridgeport Elementary in my school. It's a class of fourth graders, and they're led by Deb Tyler today. Hi. And welcome.
Further courtesies? Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 270, relating to jurors with disabilities and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 270. Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 270 allows the operator of an assistive communication device for a juror with a disability to be present during jury deliberations. During testimony, we heard the need to clarify that we do have jurors that need assistance based on a disability that they may have. Some of the issues that were brought up was to make sure that these jurors or these people that were assisting did not have the same ability after the trial was over to talk about what happened in the juror, and we were assured that that protection is in this bill. So this is a bill that we need in our court systems to help people that need assistance, and I urge your aye vote today.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cameron, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion that Senate Bill 270 should pass, vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Reed, how do you vote? Representative Reed? Representative Reed is off the floor. Representative McPherson, how do you vote? Representative McPherson? Ah, and there is Representative Reed. Representative Reed is not off the floor. He is here and he votes aye, along with Representative McPherson. Representative Nolan votes aye. Senate Bill 270, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans, please go directly to the caucus room. Do not get your lunch first.
Colleagues, can we have just a little bit quieter for the announcements? Representative Hunt.
Democrats are allowed to eat lunch. You may get your lunch and bring it to the caucus room. Why don't we try and caucus at 11:45, Democrats?
Effective immediately in accordance with ORS 173.500, I am appointing the following members to the Oregon State Capitol Foundation: Representative Debbie Boone, Representative Brian Clem, and Representative Vicki Berger, and I'm discharging Representative Jerry Crummel. Additional announcements. There will be a Friday session tomorrow, April 13, 2007. It will be at 8:30 a.m. Remonstrances. Adjournment, Representative Jensen. 8:30 a.m. Friday, April 13, 2007.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand adjourned until 8:30 a.m. Friday, April 13th, 2007.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 8:30 a.m. Friday, April 13th, 2007. Without objection, House is adjourned.